A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Nun Vav, Shabbos 56a, pagination, page 111. The Gemara here on the previous page entered into a discussion. If you want to see it, you could see on the facing page, the end of the smaller lines, four lines up. At the end of the line, Arba Mesu Be'etyo Shal Nochash. There are four people that died simply because of the snake, the biblical snake that got Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, from the tree she was forbidden to eat from. These people only died because of that sin. In other words, they didn't have any sins of their own. But because death had been introduced into the world as a result of that sin, as Rabbi Luzzatto in Derech Hashem explains, that the body had been sullied, and forever, until the body dies, deteriorates, and is rejuvenated with Tchias HaMesim, resurrection of the dead, the person cannot reach the pinnacle of greatness that Hashem had in mind for us. It's only if the person dies, deteriorates, and is rejuvenated, that they could reach that great level of becoming angelic, where the body and soul merge, with the soul being the king. So these people died only because of that sin. Ve'eluhein, this is the list. Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Binyamin the son of Yaakov the Shevet, Amram the father of Moshe, Yishai Avi David, Yishai the father of David, Kilev ben David, and one of David's children that was enormously great. And the Gilyan HaShas, Rabbi Kiva Eger, puts in over here the outer margin from the Zohar. He says Levi, according to one text, is one of the people on such a list. But in any case, the Gemara is describing that these people did not sin. They died because humanity has to die, but not because of their own sin. Just as an aside, we were doing the story of Eliyahu in the yeshiva, and the kids asked me, will Eliyahu have to die? We have a tradition that Eliyahu will be the one to announce Mashiach. The Navi describes that during his lifetime he ascended and became like an angel. He ascended to heaven without dying. So we have a tradition, he's going to be the one to announce Mashiach's coming. So their question is, will Eliyahu at some point have to die, even for a moment, in order to become a member of the world to come? Or has his ascent already been accomplished? It's an intriguing question. If you have documentation on it, please share it. The Gemara continues over here, still on yesterday's daf at the end. Kala Omer Reuven Chata, it's about seven lines into the wide. Anybody who says that Reuven, this is this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayishlach, the Pasuk says, Vayishgav Reuven es Bilha Pilegesh Aviv Vayishma Yisrael, that Reuven lived with Bilha, the wife of his father Yaakov. And the next pasuk is that Yaakov had 12 tribes, including Reuven. He's on the list. So the Gemara wants to know, that's very confusing. He lived with his father. I mean, that's Eishes Ish. That's a cardinal sin. It's one of the heaviest things. What in the world is going on here? And he's still one of the tribes. The Gemara says, anybody who says Reuven sinned is making a mistake. The Torah only describes it in moral ramifications. He interfered with his father's matrimonial relationship with Bilha. What did he do? To Yaakov, Tashmish, intimacy was sacred. And Reuven moved the beds. He felt that after Rachel's death, his mother should be the priority wife. And Yaakov recognized Bilha as the continuation of Rachel, as the loyal maidservant of Rachel. and his marriage with Bilhah took the place of his marriage with Rachel. And the bed was supposed to be by Bilhah, and it was, and Reuven interfered. So it's called Vayishkav in moral sense. It's as if he slept with her. He didn't sleep with her. He interfered with Yaakov's relationship with his wife. And for that, we know Reuven lost out terribly. He lost out priority of brachas. Yehuda took his place. And we find that he was constantly doing tshuva on what he did. He recognized his sin. But the sin is being described in very high moral ramifications. Vayishkav. But in reality, the Gemara says, Eino elo toa, if you take the pasuk totally literally, the way it says it, and think that that's what he did, you're making a mistake. You didn't have the tradition to appreciate what really happened. Let's move on to today's daf. Dropping down probably 15 or 20 lines, the end of a line, Aleph Reish Shmuel Bar. End of a line, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar, Nachmeni. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said, Amar Rav Yenison, in the name of Rav Yenison, Kala Omer David Chata, Eino Elatowe. Anybody who says that David sinned in that famous story of Bathsheba is making a mistake. Sheneemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayi David L'chol Derachav Maskil, David in all of his ways was successful, V'Hashem Imo, and Hashem was with him, he always Halacha ima b'chol makom, Hashem guided him that he should do everything correctly. Ef shechot chet bo liyado, such a chet that he lives with an eishes ish, with a married woman, ushchim na imo, and Hashem is still with him and didn't reject him. Something's wrong here. You have to understand what's going on. So let's quickly review what the story was according to text. David has his eye on a certain woman. Woman's name is Bathsheba. He sees her, he wants her, he sends a message, he gets her, lives with her, and then when her husband, we'll have to see what this means, came back, his name was Uriah, David has a conversation with him, in it he tells Uriah to go home. Uriah says, my master Yoav, the general, is in the field with the troops, and I'm going to go home. I can't sleep in a normal bed. I have to be sympathetic to the troops that are out there. I just came in quickly. He finally goes home. David sends a message to Yoav to put Uriah in the front lines and then to withdraw the troops so that he'll get stuck vulnerable. And Uriah, in fact, gets killed in battle. It looks from the quick read of the text that David lived with a married woman, that's number one, and number two, that he had Uriah killed in battle for no reason. Good. That's the quick read of the text. And a third thing to be aware of is that when the Navi comes to rebuke David, the mashal is, you have many sheep, and a man had one sheep, and you came, and you took his one sheep. How could you do such a thing? You had many wives, he has one, you took his wife. That's the quick read, and it looks like David is awful. Some people read the text of the Navi, they don't have the Jewish tradition about it, which is recorded in the Talmud, and the Gemara says, Kala Omer David Chata, Eino Letoveh. Anybody who says David sinned in that thing is making a mistake. The Pasuk is describing it in moral terms, because otherwise you'll never understand what David did wrong that the prophet is rebuking him for. But in reality, it's a totally different story, similar to what we saw by Reuven. The Gemara says that the core of understanding the story of David is in these next lines. Elama'ani makayim adua bazisa estevar Hashem la'asos hara'a. How could you disgrace the word of Hashem to do this bad? Says the Gemara, Shabikesh la'asos. He wanted to do. La'asos is in the future tense. For lo'asa, but he never actually did it. In other words, David was out of control. He would have done it had Hashem not protected him. But he didn't actually do it. Now, a little background from the Medrash. David asked Hashem, why Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the pillars and David is not? Why do we say Magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham, and we don't say Magen David, the shield of David? Why is it that Avram is greater? And Hashem answered, because I tested Avram and I didn't test you. So far, so good? So David says, so test me. Pasuk in Tehillim, Bechaneni Hashem v'naseini. Hashem, please test me. Which is not a good idea. Don't ask Hashem to test you. Why not? Because if you ask for a test, then you don't have the argument in the middle of the test. I didn't ask for this. Help me. I didn't want this. You asked for it. You're vulnerable. Hashem says the test is going to be in an issue of morality and you're not gonna hold up. Bathsheba was destined for David, but David made the mistake when he killed Goliath of asking Uriah, who was a convert to Judaism later, but at that time was a Pelishti on the field, he asked Uriah for help to kill Goliath. Goliath was enormous. He needed help. He needed a warrior's help. So after his slingshot, he came to kill Goliath. Uriah said, I'll help you, but I want a Jewish girl. So David says, if you convert, I'll get you a Jewish girl. Hashem didn't like that. Who are you to give away Jewish girls? He says, you're going to give away your Bashert, the woman destined for you, you're going to give away. And David gave that woman, without knowing it, to Uriah. Years progressed. David sees Bathsheba, senses that she's meant for him, and he wants her. The Gemara explains that anybody who went out to battle used to give a get to their wives, so that in case they were missing in action, or killed, not retrieved, whatever, the woman should not be an aguna, should not be stuck waiting for her husband to return without recourse. So Uriah had given his wife Bathsheba a get, but what kind of get? A get. If I die, it should be a get from before, but they're kind of on standby. They're the equivalent of today's engagement. You know, like, they still call themselves relationship, but they're not actually married. Bathsheba is not actually married. Why does he have Uriah killed? Uriah said about Yoav, the general, Adoni Yoav, my master Yoav. Now, by us, maybe this wouldn't matter, but in a time of kings, this was considered a violation, the equivalent of rebellion. For a warrior to say, my master, the general, and say that to the king, you've got your priorities messed up. That's considered a violation. The Gemara says the key problem over here was, it's the beginning of a line just after halfway down on the page, Shehayo lechaladono b'Sanhedrin. You should have judged him in the Sanhedrin. Had you brought him to court, we would have killed him. But you shouldn't have done it. You took matters into your own hand, even though you're allowed to as a king to do that, but it doesn't look good. And finally, you took his one sheep, and you have many, and he has one. That's being explained in a moral sense. David, you should have been hands off. You should have waited to the right time not to jump in. But this is a very powerful Gemara where you see that reading a section of Navi out of context, if you don't know the role that David plays in Jewish life, if you don't know that the Navi attests to him, Vahashem imo, Hashem is with him, Hashem protects him from sin, Hashem orchestrates everything correctly, if you didn't know that David was under a test, and Hashem made sure that it was given the test, but made sure that the woman wasn't a married woman, because he would have succumbed. La'asos, to do. You really wanted to do it, then you would have fallen right into the trap. So if you don't appreciate all that, then you could read the psukim out of context and just read that David did what he did.
Did he sleep with Bathsheba or no?
Yes. He was with Bathsheba, but she wasn't a married woman.
So this conditional get holds, although it is conditional.
As long as she die, as long as he dies in battle.
But
when he gave the get, which is conditional to his dying in battle, it's like any condition. If I don't come in 30 days, it should be a get.
It's a relationship took place after Yovav, not Yovav, the was already killed in the battle.
That's no, he was with her before, but the get was given before he was with her. The get was given before Uriah went out. Uriah came back and then went back into the battle, but the get still held. Although and the get was still waiting whether he returns definitively from battle. And he didn't. Because on his second trip, in other words, these were skirmishes, battles, whatever, the war. He did not return from the war, and therefore the get holds. You'll see important words. The first wide line at the end of the line, Moreid b'malchus have, Uriah's behavior with David was disgraceful. The complaint against him was he should have run it through the normal channels of court. And instead, he wrote a letter privately to Yoav, which Yoav later violated that confidence and released that information. Yashar koach, have a great day.